The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Sitting there is Adam Maguire. Adam, the author of The Bailout Babies, How Ireland's Financial Crash Reshaped the Next Generation and What It Means for the Future. And the way that it reshaped the next generation, if I distill it down, it is that they are skint, living in their parents' box room, sexless, and what little sex they have, they're posting it online.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to sum it up in a paragraph, I suppose that's true of it.
It's a bleak picture, Adam.
Well, it is. And it is bleak. I mean, there's no getting away from the fact that, you know, we have this, everyone knows about the housing crisis. We have this growing cohort of young people who just can't get on the property ladder. They're stuck in their parents' house, more than 500,000 as of 2 or 3 years ago. It's higher now. Or if they're not stuck in their parents' house, they're stuck paying extortionate rents for a room sharing with maybe strangers or whatever it might be. And, you know, it's very, very hard. You know, they just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a house. What is interesting, though, is that, you know, when I went and spoke to people was how they kind of were just getting on with it and trying to find ways to cope just on a day-to-day basis, but also trying to be optimistic about it.
And culturally, you point out that some of that is very challenging because you have people who are in their 20s, in some cases early 30s, living with parents. And what does that mean for dating? What does that mean for their social lives? How do you make your parents flatmates rather than parents?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the interesting thing. And what I wanted to do was say, okay, we have a housing crisis. We know about that. But what does that mean? Because they're not just, you know, sitting waiting for a house. They're living their lives or trying to live their lives. They're out often working really good jobs and often very important jobs. They're trying to socialize, they're trying to, you know, keep themselves entertained as well, but also trying to save as much as they can. And yeah, as you say, you know, on a simple thing, living at home with your parents for longer than, you know, we would previously have considered normal is stressful for everybody, parents included. You know, it's frustrating. And, you know, you have these adults in a house that was never meant to contain that many adults stumbling over each other, sharing a kitchen and sharing a bathroom. And then, yeah, you know, you want to go out and meet other people and you have to bring them back to your parents' house and you have to tiptoe up the stairs. You know, I went to a dating night and called Pitch a Friend.
For professional purposes, I assume.
For professional purposes, indeed. Yeah. My wife was completely okay with this, I told her, before I went. And it was a lovely event and everybody, and you know, part of what I felt was everybody was just happy that there were other people in the same situation as them. They were all in the same boat. But, you know, I spoke to one guy who was saying, look, my parents are okay. They understand the situation I'm in. They're okay with me bringing girls home. But I still feel the need. What he did was synchronize his footsteps going up, him and the girl, to make sure it sounded like one set of footsteps coming in the door rather than two. And, you know, these are the things that you have to go and you have to get, you know, do I introduce my, you know, partner or my kind of situationship to my parents on day one rather than being able to wait for weeks or months before I do that? All really, really awkward stuff and difficult stuff to navigate.
And the other thing that you point out is economically, this is not, I mean, it's not just not of their own making in terms of the economic situation they find themselves in, but you point out that even if 10 years ago they had begun to save furiously,
yeah,
the fact of inflation and the fact of rising house prices means that it would have been whittled down to almost valueless in the period.
That's the really frustrating thing, that like in the last decade, house prices have gone up by 100%. They've doubled, essentially, nationally. So if you imagine that you're knuckling down and you're saving, you save for 5 years, which is a long time, especially as a young person, to be knuckling down and denying yourselves, you know, the things that you wouldn't expect a young person to be doing because you're focused on saving, you know, and you save 20 grand. By the time you've done that, the house has gone up by 50, 60, 70, 80 grand. You know, you suddenly need thousands more. And effectively, you're still in the same spot as you were 5 years earlier because the deposit you require has grown by that much in that period of time. You know, so I think everybody, if you told them, knuckle down for a couple of years and you'll have a deposit for a house, can manage that. Say do it for 5 years and you probably still won't, and you'll probably have to do it for another 5 years, all at the point in your life when you should be able to enjoy yourself a little bit. I think that's a really tough message to try and swallow.
You also have a stat, an economic stat in it that I found fascinating, because you talk about the rate of emigration versus immigration, and you point out that for 22, 23 and 24, those years, there were 7,700 more people leaving Ireland than returning. And you point out, this is a relatively low number and relatively low in immigration terms compared to where we have been in the hundreds of thousands before.
Yeah.
But what I found fascinating was you point out that it is the first time where emigration has not been coupled to economic downturn.
Yeah.
We are rich and people are still
exactly.
Leaving.
You know, we were all used, you know, we were once a nation of emigration. We're used to that. But now we have this situation. It always, you know, you look through the stats and you go through downturns and recessions and so on. There's emigration in terms of Irish citizens. And it happened after the crash, after the Celtic Tiger. Then it bounced back and more Irish people were coming back than leaving. And as you say now, in the last three, and it's the case so far in the stats this year, more Irish people are leaving than coming back. And it is relatively known numbers, but I think it's kind of a canary in the coal mine. And when I was researching this, I thought to myself, I need to find someone who's maybe trying to emigrate, trying to think of ways of finding that. As it turned out, pretty much, I'd say more than half of the young people I spoke to just so happened to also be planning to emigrate. So I was talking to them for other aspects of the book, and they mentioned, oh yeah, well, a couple of months time, I'm going to finish my college course and I'm going to emigrate. Or
now, is that gap year emigration?
No.
Or is it real full I'm out of here?
Some of them I spoke said, you know, I plan on being in Australia or wherever it was for a couple of years and then hopefully come back. But maybe they will. But of course, what often happens, and we've seen it time and again, is they go over, they like the life. And, you know, there are probably a lot of people who have emigrated who plan to come back and they're looking and going, well, it's still not any better. So I'll hang on for a little while longer. And maybe they put down roots there and they just don't come back at all.
I may have put jam on it in my characterization of the generation at the start of this. What's your characterization of the social and psychological impact of all this on the people who are living it?
It's a really difficult picture, I think, for them, because you know there's so many elements to it. So that not only are they kind of financially stressed, and there's a feeling of hopelessness. Like some people just say, look, housing just isn't for me. I'm never going to buy a house, and that's causing major issues in terms of mental health. Not the only factor, but it is a factor in it. You know, financial stress is obviously a huge factor in mental health. There also, I think there's an increased isolation, and not just because everything has become more digital, but if you imagine that, you know, your friends are emigrating or they're living further away because that's the only place they could buy. You're working harder. You may be commuting for longer. You're in a job where half the place is remote working and you're remote working half the time, which means there's no kind of let's go for a pint after work. It's a very kind of, I think it's a very isolated kind of generation. And they are trying to find ways to socialize in new ways and in different ways, but it's much, much harder. It's not just as natural as it would have been for previous generations to just like that meet up with friends, go for a pint, find a connection, find a partner and maybe kind of build their lives on that basis.
Tech saying, could I just add something to this conversation, please, regarding housing? My brother just bought his first house on his own. He doesn't have a well-paid job, but lived frugally for a few years in between what he saved, government grants and a mortgage. He now has a brand new A-rated house in Dublin. It's not impossible. Although what Adam's book, The Bailout Babies, reveals is it may not be impossible. It's not common.
It's not common, and fair play to him, but it is very, very difficult.
The book is described by Richard Kern as an insightful and riveting account of the interrupted journey of an entire generation. The title is The Bailout Babies. The author is Adam McGuire. Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.